coming to you live from the studios of the Clinch County News in Homerville, Georgia. It's the Behind the News podcast with Lynn Robbins and Blake Pittman.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Behind the News podcast. I'm Lynn Robbins, publisher of the Clinch County News, Atkinson County citizen, Lanier County advocate, and Eccles County Echo. I'm joined by Blake Pittman, the editor of the Atkinson County Citizen. In this week's episode, we're going to talk about a current situation involving some missing persons over in Atkinson County on the Atkinson County, Berrien County line. We'll give you the latest information on that. Also, the GBI is investigating that. There's investigating some other stuff over in Clinch County. We'll talk about that as well. The results of the District 176 House race. We have a new representative representing Clinch County, Lanier County, and Atkinson County, and a whole lot more. We appreciate you tuning in right now, and also appreciate our sponsors. We are sponsored by Rascals over in Lake Park. We'll talk about them in a second. Also sponsored by Lutz Brown Pinkler, Manly Insurance in Homerville, the Shack Cafe in Pearson, Robert's Milling in Pearson, and also the Country Cabin. We appreciate our sponsors, and we're going to listen to one of them right now.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Robert's Milling Company, your local feed and seed supplier on West Albany Avenue in Pearson, Georgia. It is also brought to you by the Shack Cafe, located at 74 West Albany Avenue in Pearson. The Shack is open from Monday through Saturday, 6 a.m. to 4 p.m. They have a hot bar for breakfast and lunch, as well as burgers, fish, chicken, and steak all throughout the day. Also, for one of the best steaks around, check out the Country Cabin restaurant located at 879 Mary Batten Road in Pearson. They have the best steaks, chicken, and seafood around. They are open on Thursdays from 5 to 8:30 p.m. and Friday and Saturday from 5 to 9:30 p.m. Come out and see what it's all about.
Hello, boys and girls. Welcome back to the Behind the News podcast, and we'd like to welcome our newest sponsor, Rascals. Blake, tell us about Rascals.
Rascals Bar and Grill is located on Highway 41 between Lake Park and Valdosta. They are open on Thursday afternoons from 5 p.m. until midnight, and on Friday and Saturdays from 5 p.m. until 2 a.m. On Thursday nights, they have a trivia night, grand prize $40 or $50 gift certificate to Rascals, as well as prizes for each round winner. On Friday nights, they have karaoke all night long, and on Saturday nights, they have live bands coming up the first weekend in April. They have Adam Wakefield, the first runner-up from the 2017 season of The Voice. Once again, that is Rascals Bar and Grill, located on Highway 41 between Lake Park and Valdosta.
We appreciate Rascals and all of our sponsors. And this is, like we said, the Behind the News podcast. If you're tuning in for the first time, this is our fourth podcast. Still sort of feeling out what this is going to be, but really we're just going behind the headlines of our community's newspapers and talk about what's going on in the news, give you sort of an idea of what's going on in these communities in case you can't get to the newspaper. But also there's going to be stuff that we talk about here that we're going to point you to the newspaper so you can get a fuller picture. And then also we'll use the podcast to give you maybe even a more detail than we would in our news coverage in the newspapers. And one thing that is an ongoing breaking news right now, Blake, is going on in Atkinson County, actually in the Atkinson County, Berrien County line. And tell us the latest on that.
Just a little backstory. What happened Tuesday morning about 5:30 a.m., they found a vehicle on fire between Atkinson County and Berrien County, right on the county line. They found the vehicle. They identified the owner of the vehicle as a Bobby Lynn Moore, 22 years old. She is from Waycross, Ware County area, but she has a lot of ties, family ties in Atkinson County. According to the report, there was also a Ronnie Wayne Hackle Jr., 27, from Waycross, and a Mercedes Malin Hackle, 17, also from Waycross, that were with Bobby Lynn at the time. They tried to contact all three of them by their cell phones. They didn't get a response, so they immediately considered them all missing. Then sometime late yesterday, they arrested a Jonathan Douglas Van. He's 20 years old, and he's out of Nashville, and have charged him with basically they're about to charge him with murder because they found two bodies. They have not yet released the identities of those. I confirmed that this morning with an Atkinson County official. He said they are related to the case. The bodies are, he said, because they've actually went as far as to contact the family and let them know that they found two bodies, but they haven't released the identity of those two bodies yet. They have been sent to the crime lab in Macon for further identification. And once that, once those names are released, we will have them on that Atkinson County Citizen Facebook page, as well as in next week's edition.
And this situation is fluid. There's, heck, just a few moments ago, we got some new news on that. So, yeah, we'll try to report the breaking news on that on the Atkinson County Citizen Facebook page, and then we'll have a full story in the next edition of the Citizen.
Yeah, and also officials are asking if anybody has any information or knows anything about kind of what happened or anything of that nature. They're asked to call the GBI office in Douglas at 912-389-4103.
GBI has also been busy here in Clinch County. They had a situation at Quail Hollow earlier in the week. We do not have all the information on that yet. They're holding out some of that information, I think, to contact families. We'll have all the information on that in our next edition of the news, or if something comes before then, we'll put it on the Clinch County News Facebook page. Also had a roundup this morning. And we're coming at you right now on Thursday afternoon. Had a roundup this morning of people they suspect are involved in drug activity in Clinch County. And they are going to release those names to us soon. As soon as we do, we'll have that our next edition of the newspaper.
I don't know if it was drugs as much as it was gang-related activity. The source that I spoke to this morning said they had about 60 officers between city, county, and GBI and state officers. And I know they hit Brookwood at like 6:30 this morning. They hit several places. They even picked up a couple of people from Brockway that were at work at the time. And their focus was suspected and confirmed gang members, so should be interesting.
We'll have all that in the next edition of the Clinch County News, so make sure you buy a paper for that. On Tuesday, they finally finished the District 176 special election. There was a runoff between James Burchett and Franklin Patton. Burchett won that and is now District 176 new representative in the State House of Representatives in the Georgia legislature. Burchett is a Waycross or Ware County attorney, and the thing that's interesting about this, Blake, is that in the, I guess, the general election or the election they had on February 12th, Franklin Patton won. He had votes than there were four candidates going. And in this one, he did not win. In fact, Burchett had 59% of vote, 2,500 votes to Franklin Patton's 41% or 40.69%, 1755. And Atkinson County switched.
They did big time.
Yeah. Franklin Patton had won Atkinson County in that election on February 12th, but a month later, He won like 20 votes, I think, in that regular election. Then in the runoff,
by 212.
Yeah, it was 413 for James Burchett, 201 for Franklin Patton in Atkinson County. That really, though, wasn't the big difference. It was just an onslaught of support from Ware County, where Burchett won 96% of the vote there, and over 1,500 people voted out of Ware County. Now, the other big county in terms of population in that district is Lowndes County, and Lowndes County only 900 people voted. So that was a difference of 600. And in Lowndes County, Franklin Patton won comfortably, I think 67%, which is about equal to what he did in the February 12th election. And of course, Franklin Patton, being from Lanier County, won that with about 70%. But that was sort of surprising, I think, because of how Burchett came back in a month and just got, I don't know how many more votes. Looked like it was about 1,000 more votes from Atkinson County and Ware County.
Yeah,
and so
almost.
Congratulations to him. Of course, I've known Franklin Patton because he's been involved in elected politics over in Lanier County for a long time. And I've always thought he was a very good representative, and I wish him the best as well. But now our new representative for Lanier County and Axon County is James Burchett out of Waycross. We're going to take another break and hear from one of our sponsors. When we come back, we're going to be talking about the future of Family Dollar in Homerville and in Lakeland. We're going to talk about Region 2A baseball action. All of our local teams are in the throes of baseball season. And we're going to talk a little bit about Axon County and Pearson, actually in the Pearson City Council. Some news from Tyreek Hill, the Kansas City Chief receiver and return specialist who's from Axon County. We'll talk a little bit about that after this word from our sponsor.
Farming doesn't follow an 8-to-5 schedule. A slow week is 60 to 80 hours. My land, livestock, and family rely on me. That's why I bought farm insurance from Auto Owners Insurance, because every policy comes with a local agent, a real person who lives right in my community, who I can rely on to keep my farm covered no matter what.
Visit your local insurance folks at Lutz Brown Pigler and Manley in downtown Homerville, or give them a call at 487-5411.
Hello, boys and girls. Welcome back to the Behind the News podcast. I'm Lynn Robbins, joined by Blake Pittman. We're talking about the news from Clinch County, Axon County, Lanier County, and Eccles County. And one thing that was in the newspaper this week in Clinch County was the fate of that Family Dollar store, which is on North Church Street in Homerville. Family Dollar last week announced that they were closing over 400 stores nationwide and then converting around 70 of them into Dollar Trees. And in 2015, Dollar Tree bought out Family Dollar, and apparently they're going to convert some of those stores to Dollar Trees. But in speaking with local officials at the store here in Homerville, they said that the Family Dollar in Homerville will not change at all, that they will remain a Family Dollar, are not going to be closed, and will not become a Dollar Tree. As for the Family Dollar in Lakeland, there's no word on that. The company has not released any information. We didn't get any information from the Lakeland store. They didn't have any. And they haven't listed released a list of stores that are going to be closing. So we don't know the fate of that Family Dollar, which is there next to the Piggly Wiggly in Lakeland. And Blake, have you ever been in the Dollar Trees?
Yeah, several times.
You know, everything in there's a dollar.
Every single thing.
I couldn't believe that the first time I went in there.
They even have steaks for a dollar in there. I don't know how good they are.
But I don't see how they do it.
They advertise it anyways.
I was sort of hoping that they would change it to a Dollar Tree here in Homerville, but I just want it to remain open in some form or fashion. But I enjoy a Dollar Tree now.
Well, you know, Dollar Tree is a fat kid's paradise, because you can go in there and get every thing of candy they have, from the name brand stuff on down, is a dollar, and it doesn't get any better than that.
Oh, I know. All right. We are in the midst of baseball season right now, and Clinch County Panthers had a big week this week. They start out on Tuesday playing Telfair County, who was the number one team in the region, had was undefeated at that point, and Clinch won that game 2-1. That was on Tuesday. Tomorrow, Clinch plays at Lanier. Lanier, I think they're 4-5 overall, but they're still in that region race as well. And then the following Tuesday, Clinch plays Charlton at home. And Charlton, I believe, is also maybe tied with Clinch and Telfair. They're 8-4 overall. Clinch is 10-3 overall. Telfair is 8-3. But Clinch, the week before, had lost to Irwin County in sort of a controversial game up in Osceola. So, and then also Lanier, Atkinson County, as we mentioned last week, they have a new coach, they're 3-3 in region play. So they're right in it. They beat somebody this week that was pretty – oh, Wilcox. They beat Wilcox.
They beat Wilcox this week.
In the past, Blake, this region has been sort of top-heavy with Irwin County, Charlton County, sometimes Lanier, sometimes Clinch. And now it's a horse race. It's just a toss up, and these region games coming up should determine who's going to come out of our region. That region 2A is the champion, or at least the leader, as they go through the rest of the regular season. The city council in Axon County met, and we had a story about it in the Axon County Citizen this week. Blake, you mind telling us about that?
Yeah, they had the city council meeting Tuesday night. They always have them the second Tuesday of every month. If any of you are listening and would like to attend those and kind of see how your city government works, and so you can have a voice, they always give you a chance at the end to have public comments based on what they talk about. But they talked about a couple of things at the city council. The first thing that they talked about, and we didn't lead with this headline, they were having a discussion about the 2019 CDBG resolutions to see if there was any conflict of interest in that. And basically what they're doing with this grant is they're repairing all of the lift stations and doing some maintenance and some upkeep on those. And they were trying to make sure that none of the city council members owned any property or had any immediate family that owned any property in any of those target areas. If they do, then they are not allowed to vote on any matter concerning that CDBG grant. Just to give an update on that, Councilman Ricky Thomas, you know, they were discussing how important the lift stations were. And this time last year, when those hurricanes came through and they were out of power for a couple of days, they were within 2 hours of having a sewage backup all over Pearson when the power was restored and the lift stations came back on. So that's why these things are kind of important, you know, to maintain and do some upkeep. They did table that matter at the request of council member Barbara Douglas till they can get an official map and make sure they know the exact locations of all of the lift stations so they can ensure that there are no conflicts of interest. After they were discussing this, they had a member from the industrial authority there, Miss Peggy Cooper, and she spoke up and she had to ask if she could ask a question. Of course, the mayor allowed her to. They normally don't do public questions and comments until the end of the meeting, but being since she was an industrial authority member, he went ahead and let her ask her question. And she brought up the subject of some trees that had been cut down, and I wanted to know where the industrial authority's money was for those trees. So basically what happened, this happened during a time frame since the new mayor took over, but right around the first of the year, when she was the only member on the industrial authority because older members' time had run out and they decided not to be back on it and they couldn't find anybody to fill it. So Miss Cooper was the only one acting on it, and she was the secretary, so to speak. And so there was a piece of property that the industrial authority owned. There were 25 trees on that. The city basically stepped up and said, we'll pay for this, you know, out of our accounts, to have the land cleaned, have the trees cut down, and, you know, make it look nicer than what it looked. So they paid for that. They had the trees cut down. The lumber was hauled off. And apparently Miss Cooper thought that it was confusing because it sounded like she thought that the city owed them money for the trees that were cut down. And the mayor kept asking her, he said, how can you expect us to pay you for something that we paid for? So we're not going to reimburse you money that we paid. Basically, it came down to her saying that they would like to know where the wood was so they could have it cut up and sell it. They were trying to get money in their account so they can have an operating fund, if you will. At this point, Lee Chancey, who is now on the industrial authority, just to clarify, they now have a full industrial authority board now. Lee is the chairman of that board, and he spoke up and he said, you know, I think I have a solution to this problem, if you will. And so he brought up an old property there that's known as the Buck and Doe property in Pearson. In 2015, the city voted to use that as a farmer's market, if you will. It is owned by the industrial authority. So basically what Lee said was if the city was going to vote on using it, he asked them, why didn't they just purchase the property back from the industrial authority? The same way they're currently doing a property owned by Mr. James Joyce in downtown Pearson, where they pay him X amount of dollars a month. So Chancey brought up the solution. He said, let's go back to May of 2015 when the resolution was passed. He said, and let's count up how many months that was, and then let's get a figure if you would have paid us $500 a month from then until now, how much that would be, and go ahead and pay us that now, and then pay us $500 a month from here on out until that balance is paid. They did some discussion. At the end of the discussion, they decided to go ahead and pay $15,000, I think it was. Yeah, $15,000 up front, and then they'll make a $500 a month payment. It's almost a three-year term until they pay the $30,396 off, which at that point, the Industrial Authority will deed the land back to the city, and it'll give the Industrial Authority, you know, $15,000 to go ahead and put in their account now so they can go ahead and start operating and doing some of these things that they've been planning on doing for a while. But outside of that, I mean, there really wasn't much more that they discussed. They did some departmental reports and, you know, did normal stuff like approving minutes from last meeting. There were a couple of students there. They've been sending students from the high school to every meeting to observe how the governmental meetings run and such. And so, I mean, it was an interesting meeting compared to, you know, some of them where they don't really have much to discuss. There was a lot of stuff going on. So if you don't attend those meetings, they are open to the public. Again, they're on the second Tuesday of every month at 6:30. It's open to the public. You can come out and hear what they talk about. And then at the end of the meeting, they give you a chance for public comments. It has to be the items that were on the agenda and that were discussed. But it gives you a chance, you know, to kind of have your voice heard. So I encourage anybody that wants to come out to come out to those.
One thing that I want to mention, it's also in this week's Axon County Citizen, was Tyreek Hill, who's from Axon County originally and now playing for the Kansas City Chiefs. That's right. All-pro, great receiver for them, came back, spoke at the local schools this week. And also there was something, and you'll have to explain this, I think it was in the city council story, about him coming back, maybe helping out with a park or something like that?
Well, what Tyreek is wanting to do is actually build a brand new park off of McCraney Street in Pearson. Mm. McCraney Street runs down by the car wash, and right now it's just an old wooded area actually owned by the city. And he's wanting to build a big, you know, nice park for the city of Pearson to utilize for the kids, stuff of that nature. At the meeting, Mayor Robert Johnson, he approached the council and, you know, he said that Tyreek wants a lease agreement for the land, giving him, you know, permission to use the land and what have you, so he can build the park. The catch to that is Tyreek will finance the park. He will design the park. All that will be handled by him and his camp or you know, whoever else is involved in that. The city will do maintenance on the park as far as keeping the grass cut and stuff of that nature, and it will be open to the public to use. The council, you know, every member of the council said that they were strongly in favor of that. They even mentioned maybe, you know, why couldn't they renovate some of the other parks? But if he wanted to do a new park and was going to pay for it, they were fine with that. But they wanted a formal proposal to already be drawn up before they acted on it. The mayor suggested, you know, since Tyreek is from Pearson and is coming back to do this, you know, as a gift to Pearson, you know, maybe not charging him for the lease, or maybe charging like $1 a month for the lease or something like that. And all the council was pretty well in favor of it. They, you know, Barbara Douglas was the main one, spoke up and said, you know, why don't we get a formal lease agreement drafted so we'll have something concrete to go on and we can come back and revisit this at the next meeting. But Tyreek was at the school last week at Pearson Elementary School, and he just came out and spoke to the kids about, you know, never giving up on their dreams, and even though they're a kid from a small town, it doesn't mean that they can do big things. And he used himself as an example, and you know, he refers to himself as the fastest man in the NFL. So anytime he's around, he's going to race somebody. And so he lined the kids up and, you know, he raced some of them and got them all hyped up. And this is just one of many things that he has done over the past little while. Back in June, he did a free football camp at the high school, free of charge for everybody. And then he even, I've tried to find the exact amount, but being since last football season, he was inducted into the Pro Bowl, played in the Pro Bowl. Yeah. He got some kind of grant for that he donated to the middle school football program, and it was several thousand dollars. We run a story on it. Donated it to him for equipment and whatnot. So, you know, Tyreek is a small town guy, and he believes in giving back to his city, and he's doing a good job of that, making sure his face stays out. They put signs up not too long ago on the entrances to the city that says Pearson, Georgia's home of Tyreek Hill. And also refers to himself as Cheetah now, and his speed justifies that. If you've ever saw this guy ran in person, you would know what I mean.
Well, that's really good news. Both of those things from Pearson and Axon County. Got some other good news. It was in the Clinch County News about a fundraiser the high school football team was doing to try to raise money for their state championship rings. Of course, the Panthers were state champs in 2018. And one thing, the school cannot buy rings for their kids for something like that. It's against the state law. But we can, as a community, raise money for them. And our goal with that was to raise enough money that no kid would have to pay for anything. And the rings they're getting this year, because they were, this is our, I guess, back-to-back, are a little bit more expensive than the ones they've done previously. And in the past, like, for instance, last year, we had some fundraisers, sold some DVDs, and got some very generous donations. But the kids had ended up having to pay for, you know, some of it, like $100. And if they couldn't, we found ways that to every kid got a ring that wanted a ring. But this year, we wanted to raise enough money we don't have to pay for anything. And we're almost, Winston Peterson, athletic director, said we're almost there after I had this fundraiser at Dairy Queen last weekend where they got $2,000 in donations. The football players went up there and worked at Dairy Queen, and people gave them donations. And then also Ash Pachwala, the owner of the DQ, gave a portion of the proceeds from that day to the football team and their effort to raise money for the rings. And that was another $1,500. So that made $3,500 that day, along with the other things we did, a raffle. We got a great donation of $5,000 from Valdosta Orthopedic. A lot of other businesses and individuals have really just been ridiculously generous. And we're about to get around the $20,000 mark where we can pay for everybody to get a ring without, you know, it coming out of their pocket. So, but we're not there yet. I think there's still about $1,500, maybe $2,000 that we need to raise. So if anybody still wants to make a donation to that, you can contact me, Lynn Robbins, at the Clinch County News. I'm also the Booster Club president, or call it school, 487-5366, and ask for Winston Peterson. He's also collecting that. Now, from good news to bad news, we had another thing happen this week that we'll have in next week's paper. I think an auto accident.
Yeah, there was
deadly an auto accident in Axon County, right?
Yeah, there was an auto accident in Pearson. Yeah, it was this week. There were seven people in the vehicle. It was on the old Douglas Highway. I'm not sure what had caused the wreck. State Patrol hasn't released that information yet. Four people were ejected out of the vehicle, and one of those people, Crystal Paige Henderson, lost her life in that accident. It was a one vehicle wreck. There was no other vehicles involved in it, and it's still a developing story. Now, she lives in Pearson, but they're not originally from Pearson. They moved here because of a job or something to that effect. But one person lost their life, four people were ejected, there were seven people total in the vehicle. So once we get more information on that, we will have that available as well,
and that will be in next week's,
that's right,
Axon County Citizen. So look for that.
Lynn, before we go, why don't you tell us what exactly Lynn Robbins column is about this week?
Lynn Robbins column this week is about babysitting, and I have three children and no longer, thank goodness, need a babysitter because they're old enough to take care of themselves. But we've been through the whole rigmarole over the years of trying to find a babysitter. And this column talks about, and it's really worth the price of the paper alone to get these tips and advice on what to look for in a hiring a babysitter, and also what to be wary of once you hire one if you have a bad one. And for instance, if you get a new babysitter and you and your spouse or whoever go out on a date or go out somewhere and you call back to check in and the babysitter's pimp answers the phone, that's a sign you may have gotten a bad babysitter. And this is the kind of, you know, good advice and tips that are in my column this week. So people need to check that out.
No, that sounds like a winner there. Maybe they won't have any don't tell mom the babysitter's dead situations happen to them. But
well, the main thing is to find a babysitter that's never going to date.
That's right.
That's never going to have a social life, so that they're always available to you.
That's right.
So I just gave
you don't have to worry about them sneaking boys or girls over to your house.
Exactly.
While you're
you don't
out
want
on
that.
A date.
That's it, I think, for this week's Behind the News podcast. Next week, we're going to have a big one because we've got a lot of news going on right now that we'll be reporting in our newspaper. So first, next week, when the Clinch County News and the Lanier County Advocate and the Axon County Citizen and Eccles County, actually Eccles will come out the end of the month. But when those papers come out, get the newspaper, and then we'll discuss it on Thursday here on the Behind the News podcast. We'd again like to thank Rascals, our new sponsor. Tell them about Rascals, Blake.
Rascals Bar and Grill is located on Highway 41 between Lake Park and Valdosta. They are open on Thursdays from 5 p.m. till midnight, and on Friday and Saturdays from 5 p.m. to 2 a.m. They have trivia on Thursday nights, karaoke on Friday nights, and live bands on Saturday nights. So come on out and see what it's all about.
We appreciate Rascals and also the Shack Cafe in Pearson, Roberts Milling Company, the Country Cabin in Axon County, and Lutz Brown Pigler and Manley Insurance, our sponsors for the Behind the News podcast. We'll be back next week bringing you more news and analysis about what is going on in our communities. We appreciate you joining us this week. Have a great week, and we will see you a week from today.